Good morning. Welcome to Missions Conference 2019. It started off great already. I hope you were able to be here this morning as we heard from the Freezes, both in this room and also the men were in the back. And so that was an encouraging time already, and we've got a lot more. We're really looking forward to hearing from all the missionaries that are here. We've gone to every corner of the globe and found missionaries that are able to be with us this week. And so we're really excited for all that God's going to do during these next few days, both today, throughout the week, and next Sunday. So I hope you plan to be here for each time, both Sunday morning and Sunday evening, and then also on Wednesday evening. Just going to be a really good time. If you are visiting with us this morning, a special welcome to you. If you did not get one of the bulletins, our ushers can get one in your hand if you'll just let them know. But inside that, there's a number of pieces of information. One of those is the conference brochure that I'll mention again in a moment. But there is also a info card. And if you're visiting with us, we'd love to have a record of your visit. You can fill this out. Give your information to us. You can put this in the offering plate as it goes around later. You can put it in the drop box. You can give it to the ushers. You can wad it up and throw it at me as I walk back. But somehow, if you can get that information to us, we'd love to have that. There's a place on here. If there's some things going on in your life that you'd like for us to pray with you about, you can fill out that information. Again, get it to us in any one of those ways, and we'd love to pray with you about various things that you may want us to do that for. And then there is also a couple of plug-in opportunities, places that we could use your help in the ministry here, so you can take a look at each of those. We have a number of other announcements. We normally or oftentimes have these recorded, but today is a live version of Grace on the Go. So to make sure that I get it correctly, I'm going to read these. Good morning. I'm Mike Swanson, the executive pastor here at Grace. I'd like to welcome you to church this morning and to Missions Conference 2019. You can find a brochure in your bulletin or at the info center with missionary bios and a full schedule of events. It looks just like this. But there are just a few things about this year's conference that I wanted to make special note of. First, make sure you come back out tonight. We'll get to hear presentations from Brian and Ariel Dix, and the Prairies as well as the Gouges. So please come back to hear more specifics about what God is doing in those particular families' lives and what is happening in the countries to which they are serving or have served. Then on Tuesday, all ladies are invited to the Sorority of Sisters Bible Study. This is at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Our missionary ladies will be there with a special time of fellowship and study, followed by lunch, and so we hope you can make it. It's right here in the church building, back in the hospitality room. There will be some folks here that can point you in the direction if you've not been here for that before. On Wednesday, we will kick off the night with dinner, which will be served from 5:15 until about 6:15. There's no need to sign up. Just come by for lasagna, salad, garlic bread, and dessert. There's no charge, but we do ask you to consider making a donation that will go towards a missions trip to Malta that is taking place next month. After dinner, Awana and Youth Ministry will meet at their normal times, and each will have guest missionaries as their speakers. Instead of our Crossroads Bible studies or choir practice that usually happens on Wednesdays, adults will meet in the auditorium to hear reports from the Barcubines, Freezes, and Wingets. We will have a lunch on Thursday with our missionary men, so any of the men in the church are welcome to join us for that. We will meet at Ankar's on Brainerd Road at noon, so if you can join us for that, a good healthy meal at Ankar's will be waiting for you there. Finally, all of the kids need to make sure that you pick up one of the Missions Conference passports. You may have gotten one when you checked in. If you did not, you can get one in the lobby or in the check-in stations. There's information about all the missionaries that are here, and we encourage you to go talk to them, learn about the countries in which they serve, learn about them and their families, and they will stamp your passport. And we encourage you to try to get all the stamps from each of the missionaries that are here. So kids, work on that. It'll be today, tonight, Wednesday, and next Sunday as well. So try to track down these missionaries and get them to stamp your passport for you. All this information is in your brochure. There should have been one in your bulletin. when you got that, but there's also some of these in the lobby as well, or the ushers can get one in your hands. I think, hopefully, that is all for this week's Grace on the Go and all the announcements I have, but we're going to go ahead and kick off this morning with prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for all that you're doing throughout the world and the opportunities that we have to partner with your servants throughout this world. Father, we pray that as we hear from them this morning and throughout this entire week, you would challenge us, you touch our hearts. Father, may we be even more encouraged and behind missions in every way that we have possible, Father. I pray that you'll be with each of our speakers. Speak to us through them from your word and from your heart, Father. And I pray that as we go away from this place, Father, we will know that we have met with you. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity, and may all that is said and done today be honor and glory to you. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Mike. That's a lot of information, right? Appreciate him doing that for us. My name is Fred Holcomb. I'm the worship leader here at Grace, and it's just a privilege to have you join us for our opening day of missions conference. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to worship the Lord together in song. I will follow you. Sing with us this morning.
All your ways are good. Trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go, and where you stay, I'll stay, and when you move, I'll move. I will follow you, who you love, I'll love, how you serve. This life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. Light into the world, light into my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I seek, knowing I will find. as you find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountain. Savior, He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Oh Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Oh Savior, He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
It's my privilege to introduce our first speaker of our conference today. Joel and Debbie Dix and their family are no strangers to Grace. Been called out of the ministry here at Grace. Tina and I and our family had the privilege of actually living pretty close to the Dix for a number of years in the same subdivision. And, you know, we our kids are the same age. They played together. We were in and out of each other's homes and consider them dear friends. The Dix, as I said, were sent by Grace to the ministry there in Budapest, Hungary. And Joel's going to come give us a report and an update this morning on their ministry there. And would you join me in welcoming Joel to our platform this morning?
Well, good morning, church. It is great to be here this morning. I bring you greetings from Debbie and Mary Beth. They wish that they could be here as well. Some of you got to see Debbie a few weeks ago when she was here for a nice visit, and she enjoyed catching up with a lot of you here. This visit is actually pretty quick for me. I head back next Sunday night, but it is allowing me to see some of our family, meet a new grandson that is here this morning, Joshua, and also to be at a Grace Missions Conference, which I think has only happened once in the last 10 years that we've been in Hungary. So really nice to be here for the Missions Conference this week. It's also a privilege for me to open for Gary this morning. I was at their retirement party yesterday for a brief time, and I was really encouraged to see that Gary had that many friends. And some of you may not know, Gary was my youth pastor when I was growing up here at Grace. Our family started attending here in 1978. I was 14. Don't worry about doing the math. We have lots of stories about each other and pictures of each other. And I will share none of those this morning because he has the last word today. So I'm exercising a little wisdom there. As I mentioned, our family is celebrating 10 years in Hungary this year. And we can't begin to thank you enough for your prayers for us, your support for us. And by supporting us, you are supporting this this purpose. This is the mission of our team in Hungary. We're there to share the hope of Christ with Hungarians and other international folks in and around the city of Budapest. And we do that through a number of avenues. But I wanted to thank you again, not just for financial support, but also we have thoroughly enjoyed visits from a number of people here at Grace into our home over the years, been able to introduce them to many of our Hungarian friends and the team that we serve with. That is a tremendous source of encouragement to us. And of course, most recently, Kelly came and visited us in March of this year. Kelly had the opportunity to be the speaker during Spiritual Impact Week at the International Christian School of Budapest. And that I continue to hear great things from students and staff there about his visit. That was it was wonderful to have him there for that, but not only for that, but also he was able to be with our team on a retreat that following weekend. And that was just hugely encouraging to me personally, to our team as well. So thank you for supporting him in that ministry. And then lastly, just thank you for the way that you continue to support us by investing in our kids. They're still here in this area. It does not go unnoticed or unappreciated, and we thank you for that. Well, in the time that I have this morning, I wanted to share with you just some things that we are seeing God do in Hungary. And it's a little bit of a distinction between telling you about what we are doing in Hungary. There's a lot of overlap there, but I want to present these things just in the perspective of what we're seeing God do through the ministries that we are privileged to be a part of. One of that is in the way that he is growing our team. I think Kelly may have taken this picture for us during our team retreat back in March. We function as a team. We all have kind of different areas that we maybe focus most of our time and attention to in ministry, but we really do function together as a team, and it's a very important dynamic to us. And the couple on the left, Bogie and Leandro, I'm going to talk a little bit more about them in just a few minutes. They are an unofficial part of our team. He's Brazilian, she's Hungarian, and I'll mention them here in just a few minutes. But our team is really it's an interesting patchwork of people. We're not a huge in numbers, but we are quite diverse. We have teammates in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. And so that's a wonderful age spread to be a part of in a team. We have single team members, we have families, we have empty nesters, we have some from the north, some from the south. That's probably the most challenging part of the team. But we really do enjoy working together, serving together. We all live fairly close to each other, so we do get to spend a fair amount of time with each other. One of the other areas that we are seeing God move in is in through the ministry of the International Christian School of Budapest. About half of our team serves at the school as their primary ministry, and the school is enjoying their 25th anniversary this year. We now have kids of alumni, Hungarian and other nationalities attending the school. We have kids of alumni that now are teaching there and serving in a variety of roles. So it's been really fun to see how God has grown and developed that ministry over the last 25 years, and specifically in how he provides for our teachers. Every teacher at ICSB is missionary. They raise their own support to be there. It's a calling for them to be there. And God's just been very faithful, of course, to provide the needs that we have every year. We see kids come to Christ every year at the school. As the chairman of the school board, I meet with the staff at the end of the year, and I hear that every year, they talk about the kids in their classes that have come to Christ. Just about 2 weeks ago, I had a meeting with some of the administrators, and they were telling me most recently about a young third grade Japanese boy that came to Christ just a few weeks ago, and it's a very ripe mission field in that school, and we're thankful for the opportunity to serve there. Another way that we're seeing God move is in the increased relationships that He with Hungarian people that He continues to give us. As I mentioned, about half of our team works at the school. Other half, their primary ministry is with Hungarians. A lot of that is in English-based ministries. Learning English is quite important for Hungarians, whether for their job or for other reasons. And that's one of the primary ways that we connect with people in the community and connect them to the local churches that we partner with. This past summer, our team staffed 4 weeks of camps in three different cities throughout Hungary. And we love working together with the churches that we partner with there as well. The ladies' ministry is a big part of what we're involved in there, and Debbie leads that. I will always, I know I'm biased, but I will always promote her as the best missionary I know. She is just gifted in how she connects with the ladies in our area, and she does a fantastic job with that. Most of those are one-on-one type connections. That's kind of the basis of where we start a lot of our ministry, is connecting with people in the community. A lot of times that is through English. We see that then develop into the process of getting them into the local churches. Many of our students that come to the English outreaches, of course, we invite them all to our Bible studies. Many of them come, and some of those even turn into deeper seeker-type Bible studies. This picture is three Hungarian ladies and Debbie and then two of our other teammates. They meet at our house every week. None of those three ladies are believers, but they want to know what the Bible says. They have questions. They have things they're just wondering about in their lives, and they meet around that table every week, and Debbie and our other teammates get a chance to share the gospel with them. The last way that we're really seeing God move in our ministry is in connections with the churches that we partner with, and particularly one new church that I wanted to tell you about. I mentioned Bogey and Leandro. They met at Word of Life just a couple of years ago. They were married 2 years ago, and at that time, Debbie worked with both of them very closely in children's ministry at the Danube International Church. So we continue to spend a lot of time with Bogey and Leandro as a couple to help mentor them in the early years of their marriage. But they are very excited to be a part of a new church in the city of Budapest that launched just last week. Last Sunday night was their first public service. And I've had that circle on my calendar for many, many months. It was really exciting to be there and see over 110 people come to that that first service in a very needy part of the town. They are partnering with two other couples. One is Mark and Karen Patton, which many of you are familiar with. And they have a very healthy church in Esztergom, and then another Hungarian couple, and Bogey and Leander. They are the leadership team in this new church. They are meeting right now. Hungary is 6 hours ahead of us, and they meet at 5 o'clock on Sunday evenings. And so as we're meeting here this morning, you can just kind of see yourself sitting in the back of that church this morning, and we're very excited about what we see ahead for them. If you think about it, be in prayer for Bogey and Leandro. They are trying to transition out of just the job that he works full-time right now. They want to be in full-time ministry, and God has called them to that. And so they're in the process figuring that out, what it looks like for them financially and support-wise. If that's something you're interested in, I would love to maybe talk to you a little bit about that after church. These are the other churches that our team partners with throughout the week. Four Hungarian churches and then the International Church in Budapest. And we're just excited about what we're seeing God do in all of these churches. Some ways that you can pray for us. As the team leaders, we want to be effective team leaders. And again, we're just so thankful for the team that God has put together there. We love serving with each other, but we want to do a good job as team leaders. My mom and dad are here this morning, and if you think about it, you can continue to pray for them as well, particularly dad, as he has some health challenges that a lot of you are familiar with, and we continue to pray for them. And lastly, that we'll just continue to see more opportunities to connect with Hungarians. It's what God has called us to. It's what we love to do. It's just what we love to do. Just in closing, if you don't receive any of our updates, there's a sign-up sheet back on the table out in the hallway under the Hungarian flag. We would love to keep you up to date on what we're seeing God do in the ministry there. Maybe take one of our cards as well. And just continue to pray for us, for our family, and for the country of Hungary. Thank you.
Thank you, Joel. We'll have the men come for the offering. I'm going to pray for Joel in that ministry as he's suggested, and then as we take the offering, I'll mention a couple things about conference. Father, we thank you for the team that you've raised up in Hungary, for Joel's representative of that today, and as he asks, we pray that you would make them effective leaders, him particularly, and Debbie and her role with the women, strengthen, guide them, help them to see where opportunities lie. I ask that you would lead them into the opportunities that you have there. Ask for Joel's parents. We're glad to have them nearby and pray that you'll continue to strengthen and undertake for them. For the kids as they're spread around, each one with the interests that they're pursuing, some studying and some that we'll be hearing from this week as they look to serve you also. We pray that you would speak to us in this time of missionary emphasis and open and move our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Mike referred to the conference brochure. I trust that you have that. There are more in the lobby if you don't. He gave us most of the details on the schedule on the back, so I won't repeat that. Let me suggest that you, if you're new with us, take a good look at the bio portion in the middle. I appreciate Sarah Wexler putting that together for us again this year. I grew up in a family that I could count on one hand. I married into a family that I can't count on my hands and toes and everything else together. I could have used a guide like this for the family that I married into. Still don't know all their names. So we recognize that those that are new to us here, our missionary family of 50, 60 families, we get to see maybe on a 5 to 10 year rotation as they get back. So if you're newer with us in the last couple of years, it's like getting to know the family. And it takes a while and it's a little hard. So use this as a jump start. And then I'd like to challenge everyone to listen actively. What we present, we would like to have as the common things, the things that everybody would start with in conversation. So we all get to hear that together. But out of that, you ought to hear something to go pursue with each of our speakers or presenters as they talk, something that when you get to the lobby, you want to ask them about, because then you're paying attention and they know that you're paying attention and you will get to know them better as you ask them something and follow up. One of the other ways that we've pointed to is for that interaction is weeknights. I know a couple of small groups or Sunday school classes have identified a time when they might get together with a missionary. Let me just say, ask and take advantage of folks when they're around. About half of the folks are here either one weekend or the next. Some couldn't be here with us both times. Freezes, for instance, that spoke to us in Sunday school are here through Wednesday, and that's the only opportunity we get in the next few days. So don't delay on seeing them, making a chance. They're available during the daytime, besides scheduled times for lunch or some other appointment. So take advantage of it as soon as you can, in any way you can. And then there are a few that are around longer, and so if you don't get it in this week, don't, you know, the next couple of weeks are good too with folks that are nearby. But work it out to get in a one-on-one conversation or a small group with these folks. Glad that you're here today. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. And for those that are new, Paul heads our missions committee. They do all the organizing and planning and asking of the missionaries and so forth. So we're thankful for Paul. He has a full-time job that he works, but it's all on a volunteer basis. So we appreciate him and others that participate in that. I'm going to ask you to stand with me once again before as we dismiss our kids. So if you're here and you have kids elementary age and under, there's some opportunities for them. They don't have to go to that. You're welcome to keep them with you, but we invite them to go to that as well. Let's sing together, O Great God.
O Great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart. Hold it all and reign supreme, conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your voice.
Introduce our speaker to us this morning, and if I could ask Janet and Gary to come forward at this point in time. I hope that some of you, and I know many of you had the opportunity to come last night as there was a retirement party for the Googes. They have a couple of friends, as Joel alluded to, so that was an encouraging thing. Go ahead and come on up. But I just wanted to just say a few things this morning. Janet and Gary were married in this church in 1981. And where Gary was serving on staff, and they went to language school in Paris, France in 1984. In 1985, they moved to French Guiana in South America and served there for 12 plus years, at which point in 1997, they moved to Brignoles, France and served there for a number of years. Until in 2003, moved to the home office of their mission, which at that time was EBM, and they served there in Indiana for a number of years working with recruitment. In 2009, they switched from EBM over to Titus, another mission agency, and in 2010, went back to France at the request of their French partners there in working in a church, and they served there until this spring. They have three children. They have seven grandchildren. Is that correct? And they are my brother-in-law and sister-in-law as well. So for some of you that have not been here for a long time, this may be new to you, but I'm glad you have this opportunity today. Well, those are some of the easy to see statistics, but let me tell you a few other things. It says, what we cannot readily see this morning are the countless hours spent by Jan and Gary investing in people. Investments of prayer, discipleship, and fellowship. Investments of laughter and shared joy, as well as investments of tears and walking difficult roads with people for whom Christ died. And although there have been times when the results of those investments were seen and realized, only eternity and the faithfulness of God will reveal all that he has used these missionaries to do for his glory. And this is just going to be brief this morning because we want to give Gary the full amount of time. But on behalf of Grace Baptist Church, I want to thank you for spending your lives and for representing this congregation and, more importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully for over 34 years. Now, we have a small gift for you that I don't have with me. Trust me. You can trust me. It is there. But would you join me in thanking the Googes for their lifetime?
You're not going to shake my hand, right? Thank you, Mike. Thank you so very much for that that very, very kind words put together in a very, very fine way. Thank you to those of you that did come out yesterday to celebrate with us our retirement. Why are we retiring? When one of the young men from my youth group can stand up here and say he's a grandfather, it is time to move on. Thank you, Joel, for your words as well. For those that could not come yesterday, several of you have shared with me your lame excuses, and I accept them. A pleasure to be with you. We were here, I think it was 4 years ago, for the conference, and enjoyed it, and are going to enjoy this one as well with you. Do have to leave Saturday to get to Ohio, I think it is, for a meeting up there. We're still doing our thank you goodbye tour to the different churches that have participated, and we've already done that with you, so I won't tell you thank you again. But no, seriously, as you can understand, if you're new here, our history goes way back here, and it's been a wonderful one. And as it looks, we're going to be in this area for a while. What Mike didn't mention, of course, our three children and our seven grandchildren live in Tennessee in our proximity of this area, so we're gonna hang around a while. If you were with us last week, Mike got us going. Dr. Mike Loftist, or Michael, or like Mike said, however you want to call him. I went to school with him, both college and seminary, so I just call him Mike. Was here to launch it, and boy, he just gave us some very interesting. Of statistics, more than interesting, appreciated, because it's incredible what God's doing. That should not surprise us. I'll mention that again in the message. I do want to just come back to the title of his message, which was God's, or the Unstoppable Movement of the Gospel. The Unstoppable Movement of the Gospel. There were 6 points. I know that because I asked Sarah to send me the message. We went through it so fast that I couldn't write it all down. So just want to make a reference to that and want to kind of hitch my wagon, as I do often, in a missions conference, to what was said previously. Also, I got a little note this week from Paul Snyder saying, you know, Gary, if there's something that's really close to your heart you'd like to share, please share that with us as well. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Father, do bless us, and I know that anything you say in your word is going to be much, much truer than my comments. But we have worked on this message, and we ask that you would use it to draw our hearts closer to you, to orient us more towards the understanding of your will, and what you're doing in this world, as well as what you are doing in our lives. Amen. So as I said,
I'm going to go back to Colossians 1 is going to be our text, by the way, this morning. And I actually did kind of use that once previously. But I want to go right back for just a couple of verses. If you recall, I spoke on the three qualities that Paul looked for in a local church. They were faith, hope, and love. And today we're going to stick with the hope section of it, because that is the quality or the element that Paul most tied to the gospel and to the spread of the gospel. And we'll see that in a minute. And we've already got our image up there. Yeah, you're wondering what is Gary going to do with this? And here it is. Hi, my name's Gary. I'm infected and contagious. Now, those of you that know me know that I'm infected and probably affected by whatever is infecting me, but I hope to be able to present to you that that is really who we are in this world. Now, typically, Mike used the word movement, these different movements. If you will recall, he shared with us to be classified as a movement, you needed, now, just a word, and he did say this, people don't look at themselves as movements. And in a sense, in no way is the church of our Lord Jesus Christ simply a movement. But he used that because that is a missiological phrase that's used to when there are, in a people group, there are 1,000. You remember he said 1,000 baptized converts. At least 100 local house churches, as well as I think it was a fourth generation conversions. And when we say fourth generation, we don't mean grandfather, father, son, no. When he talks fourth generation, he means simply that the gospel has gone from me to you to someone else, and that from that person to another person. There are four generations of new births, not four generations of people, so to speak. So that was the classification of the movement. And I want to hitch my wagon on that. I want to talk about an epidemic. And that's why I'm using this image. The epidemic that the hope of the gospel is to cause in this world. I have, you know how epidemics usually start with viruses and germs. And I have 7 grandchildren who just all 7 recently went back to school. I don't think not one of them did not miss already one day of school. Why? When you go back to school in the beginning of the year, all those viruses come together. And the kids, you know, they bump fists, they shake hands, they hug, they go to the bathroom, and suddenly the whole class is sick. And if you're an elementary school teacher, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I think the rules are if your child has a fever, please keep them home. If you follow that, raise your hand. No, don't do that. Matt Pollack's not here. That's probably a good thing. But the point is, you're supposed, and it is a good reaction for that kind of epidemic. Actually, you know, the CDC up there, or down there in Atlanta, I should say, you know, that's one of the first things they do when they identify an epidemic. They isolate the people who are infected. But we're going to speak of it in a little different way. And what we will say in the end, we are infected by Jesus Christ. Do not stay home if you have a fever. Please get out of your house. So let me run through this with you. Let's read the passage together first off. And if you have your Bibles, this is out of the Holman Bible, but they will all be similar. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. You have already heard about this hope in the message of truth, the gospel. So what we find out here, the virus that's spreading the gospel is hope. Paul would say it in another place. If in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. So hope was always in Paul's mind tied to this idea of spreading the gospel. It is bearing fruit and growing all over the world. And that's what missions conferences are about. This phrase, I hope it grabs your heart. Just as it has among you since the day you heard it. In other words, what's going? Missions conference is never for us to have some sort of experience through the missionary somewhere else, though we do have that. what's going on there should be going on here. There's never, we're not exporting the gospel, we're spreading it. Does that make sense to you? It's not something, it's something we're participating in here. You learn this from Epaphras, our dearly beloved slave, our fellow slave. He has faithful servant of Christ on your behalf, and he's told us about your love in the Spirit. I just want to just go through three points that I think jump off of the pages. The first one is the gospel is a contagious message of eternal hope. I just will re-grab a phrase out of our passage then. Because of the hope reserved for you in heaven, because you have already heard about this hope in the message of truth, the gospel that has come to you. I want to grab a brief statement from an author that I appreciate, and that is C.S. Lewis. He wrote this in Mere Christianity, and it's one of those little catchy phrases that grabs you. He, Jesus Christ, came to this world and became a man in order to spread to other men the kind of life he has. This is what I call the good infection. And it was Lewis that coined this phrase, the good infection. Every Christian is to become little Christ. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else than to be little Christ spreading that gospel. Now, I am not indicting you here. Please stay with me. This is something I think we'll get to the end of this message and say, wow, this is our mission. We can do this together. But thank you for thinking that way, C.S. Lewis. We will have to talk briefly, and why did I say briefly? Well, we all enjoyed Mike last week. He had 97 slides. I've got 10. If you want any idea of how quickly we're going to go through this. And we do need to talk about the nature of biblical hope, because our hope has been so affected world today. And let me talk about world hope and hope. World and hope, or hope in the world, is more like I hope this will happen. So there's hope, expecting this to happen. I'm wishing this to happen. It's not this confident expectation or anticipation of something that's sure. And I want to kind of bounce the two off each other for comparison reasons only. 2 weeks ago, my son, who lives up the road a bit, about an hour, went to the Meigs County Rodeo. Anyone else been there? You got to go. I've never been there either. About midway through the rodeo, or riding cows or roping cattle, or maybe you do this the other way, I don't know. Anyway, they have the calf scramble. There's the calf scramble, and he filmed it. The calf scramble is they let go two calves in the big rodeo ring and about 100 kids. One of the calves has a red or pink ribbon on its tail, I think it was. And for 30 seconds, my son filmed this and sent it to me. So you have all these kids rushing behind this. I can't imagine what the calf was thinking. But they're running up and down, around and back and forth. And of course, all the kids are trying to grab that one ribbon because it is worth $100. You get the ribbon. Danny's probably been to one of these. I send you to see up there. Danny probably participates. Danny Haig, I'm talking about. But the point is, if you can grab that ribbon, you get $100. And so, and the only reason that I had three grandchildren out there. There were at least 100. I don't know if you could have counted them. They were everywhere, these kids and the calves. You had the calf, the one calf had nothing. He's kind of a distraction. The other calf with the ribbon. And they're, you know what is in the heart of every one of those children? I hope I get the ribbon. And that is an excellent definition of the world's idea of hope. Running behind something, just hoping you can grab it. A little postscript. At the 32nd point, my oldest grandson grabbed the ribbon. That's right. What I did not know, the three of them had made an agreement before they went in there. If you get the $100, we get 20, he gets 20, she gets 20, you get the 40. I mean, they had this all worked out. And I looked at my grandson, because I had him a couple of days later. We were going to do some mountain bike riding. I said, okay, tell me, did you follow a strategy? Yeah, Vicky, my stepmom, told me that stay to the outside, don't get caught in the middle, and you can. I said, it was luck, wasn't it? He says, yeah, Papa, it was really just luck. There's no strategy. And that, but that is an excellent definition of running around. This is not what we're talking about, hope. It's not trying to grasp something that's invisible that we hope we can grab. It's more the settled feeling, if we can call it that, that I had. I will use the example of the birth of my first daughter, since she's here, at East Ridge Hospital at the time. If you were to walk into that waiting room and say, what is your hope today, Gary? It's to take a baby home. Are you sure about that? Well, we've been 9 months waiting here. It better not be something else, is what I'm saying. It's been a long time and a painful one at that. But that knowing that what is happening, it's just a matter of time, the baby will be born. That's the kind, the confident expectation, and that's what Paul is talking about here when he talks about hope. I didn't mention all the passages. I think in the Psalms I found over 100 passages where David, in repeated ways, said, my hope is in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. Those who have their hope in the Lord. The whole idea was this. Now that was maybe a nationalistic type way or a personal way, but it was still the same. It's something I'm sure is going to take place because God is faithful. This hope is held and reserved. He says this, you know, reserved in heaven for you. Now we have a living, loving, and present God who responds to our prayers. So when I say our hope is reserved in heaven, I am not in any way removing present hope. I'm just trying to say that this hope of what is eventually ours influences all our present hopes. But the final thing's to come. It is not today. And it is coming. Because Christ has done this, but now he has reconciled you to Christ. Pardon me, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, establish firm and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. I want to continue just before we move on to the other point, the nature of biblical hope. Continued. It is a true hope. In three different passages in this same letter that Paul is writing, he warns these people. First time, I'm saying this so no one will deceive you with persuasive arguments. About what? About the hope. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deceit based on human tradition. Therefore, let no one judge you in regard. Just let no one shake what is the foundation, the object, the very hope itself. And I think the reason Paul did that is we run the same risk of shifting hope, of changing that. I just want to make sure, so I looked it up this yesterday, I think it was, about compasses, and I'm talking analog compasses, not the kind that might be on your cell phone. That could be a good example of we, but as well. But if you have an analog compass that uses a magnetic north and you put a magnetic in there, it will give you a false reading. Are you following me? If we get any other kind of magnetism in our compass that leads us to that hope, we will get a misled direction. And I speak as one who has been misled before. And I think that's why Paul's warnings, it was three times and it was so strong. Don't let anything move that hope. And you, pardon me, let me continue. I want to move to the next point. This is not going to be surprising to you because that's kind of where I've been wanting to go with this. Is that the gospel is universally contagious. And we got to sit this morning and listen to Mike, and thanks a lot, Mike Fries, for our men's and the ladies in here. Last week, like I said, we listened to Mike Loftus give examples from all over the world, and particularly areas where the gospel has been just so opposed and opposed in a very combative way, but yet the gospel is growing in those places. And we were, I think Mike was trying to get a response out of us, and we were just all, wow. We didn't know what to say when he spoke of those areas where not just one or two people movements, but multiple people movements of tens of thousands of people coming to Christ. Fantastic. That is because the gospel is universally contagious. It is bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day that you heard of it. It's regardless of ethical boundaries, of ethnic differences. Mike and Marilyn can testify that. We can. Joel Dix just testified to that in Budapest, and other, all the other missionaries here will testify to that. We're all in spiritual darkness. We're all candidates for this light. The gospel is light. It is hope. I think because I cannot be sure of this, but the example or the illustration of using light for hope is very important to us, because when you are in darkness, what gives you hope? Light. And he states this: he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in him. The previous verse mentioned reconciled. Just let me park there a little bit. We saw reconciled in our most recent Sunday night Bible study. It was one of the questions: what does reconciliation mean to you? Janet and I are in the process of purchasing a house, and our lender has required us to go through the home buyer's course. FDIC, is that the big lending? Now they're wanting everyone to do this 14, I think there are 14 lessons, about 15 minutes long. And there's a big one there about balancing the budget. And that's what reconciliation. It is a financial term that means this side of your page and that side of your page equal. And that's what Christ did with his death. Because if you're here without Christ, you've got a tremendous debt that you cannot pay. And you may try, but you will never get that page to reconcile. Only Christ, dying in your spot, in your place, taking your place, can reconcile your debt. And that's what that's what he means, reconcile. We have no debt. I have no debt before God, in spite of being a sinner, because I've been reconciled by his death and resurrection. And there are other passages we won't go into. But and that light is the big hope. One more point. Faith is a response. I chose two verses that you know very well, because I think we skip over something that has ethnicity in it. You know very well, God so loved the world, and whichever version you read, they will all come about the same way. But if you go to the context where this was being said to whom? Nicodemus. Who was Nicodemus? Well, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a Jew of the Jews. And what Nicodemus learned through listening to these verses are some incredible truths. God loves the world? No, in his mind, God loved only the Jewish people. And the way you obtain favor with God is believing in his son, that his son died? No. The way you obtain favor with God is by keeping the law. And the only way, the singular way that you can come to God is through faith? Of course not. So it's not just this simple. This was revelatory for Nicodemus. He had never and could not have even imagined that anyone else could be loved by God, that anyone else could come to God and using any other means but the traditional Jewish method. So it just blew him away. And the second passage, you know that as well. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to whoever believes, the Jew first, also to the Greek. For in it, God's righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. Faith remains the only response that is acceptable, the only response that gets us reconciled or balances the budget. Of course, we go beyond the balanced budget, we get new life. And that's another message. But it takes care of our sins. Internationally, infectious. The CDC should have a tremendous problem with the gospel. They couldn't control it. It can go anywhere, everywhere with the same effect. And that's what Missions Conference is. But is it having the same effect here? Did Paul write to Grace Baptist and say, the gospel is growing and bearing fruit all over the world, just as it does at Grace ever since you first heard it? That's a sober, and I'm asking myself that as well. It's a sobering thought, but let that sink in. That is exactly what he was saying to this church. The third thing, and this is a lot of fun because this involves you. The gospel is transmitted, pardon me, by infected people. It's a contact disease. And he says, you learned this from Epaphras, our dearly loved fellow slave. He's a faithful servant of Christ on your behalf. He told us about your love. And what I want to pick up here is all these, if you read through this passage again, it's this infection that's communicable by contact. Look at all those words. Heard about, the message, you heard it, the truth, you learned it. All those are terms that you can only attach to something you communicate. If you're not communicating any, those terms have no sense. So this man, Epaphras, this infected man, goes and infects another person who infects another person who infects the person, and only any infected person can infect someone else. This is a statement from one of our lessons in the book. I just want to read this to us because I thought it really captured what I'm trying to say by Russell Moore. Pardon me. I want to catch up on my things or I'll be out of sync with you and you'll be out of sync with me. The gospel, as well as being the message of our salvation, and this is where we're going to touch the hope, okay? The gospel, as well as being the message of our salvation, it also informs the tone of our engagement, our communication of that message. The means, the way we communicate that message. We aren't prosecuting attorneys seeking to indict our opponents of their sin. The devil does that just fine on his own. Rather, we are defense attorneys, or as the Bible puts it, we are ministers of reconciliation. And I think that whole statement right there best communicates my idea of hope. We are offering hope, a sure, simple, patient anticipation of what's going to come with present benefits, I agree, to people who need hope so badly. Now, I'm wrapping this up. Ho, 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 Mike Loftus. No, I'm just kidding. Mike's a good friend. But we can't just walk away from this that easily. Paul, when he writes this letter, is a prisoner. Not sure where, it's kind of vague, but he's one of his prison stints. He's in prison. It's a four-chapter letter. We made the nice little chapters, and I would just like to read a brief statement from the end of his letter. Don't forget, he's in prison. He can go nowhere. He says this. He says, I've been praying for you guys. He said, pray for us that God may open a door to us for the message. Paul is simply saying, pray for us that we will be able to infect someone else. He's not praying to get out of prison. I'm sure that's his desire. He wishes, but his prayer is, while I'm here, I want to pass this infection of hope to somebody else. I was thinking about this, and I don't know how to fill this blank in. That's going to be yours to do, or I can maybe do it for myself. I repeat, are we trying to keep people from getting contaminated? Have we built systems in our cultural Christianity that actually, instead of spreading the infection, somehow we're guarding it for ourselves? I'm asking myself this question. Have I created, instead of infecting people, I'm actually I've got a fever and I'm staying home. No, you got a fever. Please get out there and infect someone. Or is it number two? That compass and the magnet I was talking about? Have I got a magnet in my compass that has caused me to put hope in something else other than reconciliation? Have I allowed, you know, those three warnings that Paul threw at him? Have I allowed one of those warnings to go unheeded? And for some reason, even when I'm around uninfected people, I've got nothing to infect them with. I'm just like them. Isn't that a scary thought? There is no hope coming out of my life or out of my words that bumps into them. And we could go on with other, what? And once again, it's not an indictment, but seriously, if you're infected, you can infect someone else. Now, I know, and Mike brought it up very, very well last week, that not all the seed is going to produce 100%. It's going to be 30, 60, 100, and but maybe some none at all. I understand that. But that should not affect my desire to infect. And thanks for coming here this morning, but we're all infected people. I love it being with you. I'll be here every time I can be here. But we're all just a bunch of infected people, and we need to get out there and infect others. I want to just close with this prayer. And then Fred will come with a song for us. The prayer comes out of Romans chapter 15 and it's verse 13. It's a prayer that Paul prayed for the Roman believers. Let's pray. Now may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we believe in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen.
Just keep your heads bowed just for a moment as we really just look at our own hearts. When you or we are in darkness, what gives us hope? It's light, right? We're all in or prone to spiritual darkness, but the gospel is the light. It's our hope. And that's what we trust in. The questions Gary proposed to us this morning is the gospel bearing fruit and growing at Grace as it is in some of the other parts of the world? What's our part in that? What part are we playing in that? How are we participating in that? And the most obvious question this morning is, are we staying home when we know we're infected? Staying home when we have that fever? Or are we actively trying to infect people with the gospel? Wow, what a privilege. God, we are so grateful that we have that privilege to give the gospel, and yet we're reluctant. May we go out this week with boldness, with courage, to say we have something that the world needs, and that's light and hope. Would you stand with me as we sing together? Gary requested this song this past week, and you'll understand why as we sing the words.
Oh, light of the world, you stepped out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Oh, beauty that made this heart. Together, lovely, all.
Thank you for being with us today, and don't forget that tonight we'll have service beginning at 5:30, and we'll hear from some of our other missionaries, and I don't have the list in front of me. I know Brian and Ariel will be with us. I think the Prairies are giving an update, and then Gary and Janet will be giving a report on some of the things that have been going on in that ministry, kind of wrapping up that ministry. So we want you to come back tonight. I will say orchestra, we're practicing at 4 o'clock. We haven't practiced in a number of weeks, so we're practicing at 4 o'clock today, just before tonight's service. Lord bless you. We love you. Have a great afternoon.